Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all of it, all the issues. And we are solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three. How in the world is it possibly hour number three, Boomer? I mean, what?
I don't know.
What did you do to the clock? Did you speed it up?
I just sped it up a
little
bit.
You just kept hitting the button over there?
Yep.
Man. Keep going. Like, zap. We're just done. All right, well, listen, hour number three. Here's number three on the Triple Dipper. You're going to enjoy this, by the way, because I'm going to be telling you things that are, on the one hand, maddening, but on the other, they're just almost worth a good laugh. Because you look at, so number three on the Triple Dipper, Boomer, do you see what I called it? Suck it up, Buttercup.
Suck it up, Buttercup. That's it. Actually, I shared that with my wife. I was like, you got to listen to number three. It's Suck It Up, Buttercup.
I think the participation trophies are the downfall of Western society. I'm just saying. I think literally, by the way, I get it. You want everybody to get a trophy for having been on the team. If the team wins, you get a trophy, right? Okay.
I don't want to talk about this. I may have told my son he only got one of those, and then he has to give it back every time he gets another one.
Oh, wow. Boomer, you're a hard man.
I don't like them.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I'm just saying.
You tell him Uncle Phil agrees with Dad.
Yes.
All right.
I let him have a trophy and a medal, and then everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets the – okay. So, all right. It's win or don't come home. No, not really. Not really. Not really. But you know what, though? Here's the thing. Kids have got to understand what it means to actually lose. I mean, you got to learn how to be a graceful loser. Used to be it was the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That was why they opened up the wide world of sports every Saturday. Mm. And the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And if you cannot learn to be a graceful loser, a loser who still has a sense of professionalism and can shake the hand of your opponent, somebody who has lost, which makes them want to try harder to come back and win the next time.
Work harder to do that.
That's exactly right.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I got one article. It might be in my stack, or maybe I saw it when I was researching this part of the show. I think I didn't print this one out. That in the national. Wait, hang on a second. I got to think of my dates. You're a Bama fan. You're actually you're actually wearing that hat right now.
That hat.
Anyway, but there was a national championship that Bama didn't win in recent years, and so Coach Saban called their second place trophy the participation trophy, and he put it in the players' dining room, made them look at it every day. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. So, yeah, you look it up. You can actually look up Alabama Crimson Tide participation trophy, and I guarantee you'll find it. But here's the thing. Coach Saban, he does not build record-breaking teams by teaching them that it's okay to lose. Now, I am not, by the way, saying that I raise my kids to be so perfectionist that in some way they feel like failures if they haven't accomplished everything. No. Charlene and I did all we could to teach them that failure is literally just a motivation to go back and try again later. And, you know, I was the guy on the sideline going, come on, buddy, play harder. You know, I can remember when my son was playing soccer, I used to tell him, man, that one time when you got the wind knocked out of you, you played better after that because you got up and you got mad and you played hard. Not that he wasn't playing hard before, but it's like it galvanized him to go do more. What'd you find the year?
He is actually last year against Georgia.
Oh, what am I saying? That's right.
And it actually says under the trophy, are you happy with it?
Wow. Mm-hmm. So coach puts it out there with a sign that says, are you happy with it?
Yeah, and it had the score on there.
And there's only one right answer to that question.
Yep.
No, you're not happy with it. Because you play for the Crimson Tide, so why would you be happy with it? Yeah.
Right.
All right, listen, this whole section right now, Suck It Up, Buttercup, is addressing the question of why it is that we seem to have this generational thing going on right now that says it's okay to be a snowflake. It's okay to be a buttercup. It's not okay to be a buttercup. It's not. male or female, it's not okay. By the way, you know, there may be words that bother you. There's certain words I don't like to hear. I mean, I would prefer that someone curb their tongue. I've had someone come to my office before for a real estate closing that couldn't control their tongue, and I told them they could either change their language or leave. But that was not because I was so offended that I couldn't function anymore. I don't have virgin ears. It was because they were doing everything they can to offend everybody in the room. That's a different story. That was actually me standing up to them, if you get down to it. But the truth of the matter is this. We cannot be a society that lives to be offended. We cannot be a society that lives to believe that everybody gets a participation trophy, because life does not give out participation trophies. Life deals out hardships at times, and if you're not prepared for those hardships when the times come, then you recoil and you go back into the fetal position and you become a non-productive member of the solution that everybody's trying to find. There's a, oh gosh, now I got to look it up. It's not Psalm 19. Hang on a second. There's a verse. Hey, Boomer, go straight to Google again, brother. A verse that says, if you fall apart in a crisis, there was not much to you in the first place. See if you can find that one right there. It's got to be. Where you at? You finding it?
Proverbs
24:10. That's it. If in the Message translation says, if you fall apart in a crisis, there was not much to you in the first place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is. I had the verse memorized, couldn't call the address. But here's the bottom line. We're raising up a generation right now of snowflakes, of people that are just buttercups. They're just, it's don't scare me with your words. And what are they going to accomplish in life? In the next war, how many high grounds are they going to take? In the next hard business climate, what are they going to do? In the courtroom, how zealously will they defend their opponent when the other side starts getting rancorous? You know, what are they going to say when their son or daughter comes home and they've been unjustly treated? Well, don't say nothing to nobody. Maybe they'll leave us alone. No. And by the way, I am a firm believer in turning the other cheek. I'm not talking about going out there and getting belligerent with life. But what I'm saying is there's a time and a place to recognize that how you handle loss is just as important as how you handle victory. So here's a classic example. I'm about to blow your minds. All right, Boomer, hang on, brother.
I'm holding.
I'm about to quiz you on some trigger words. You ready? Apparently, Brandeis University, that's B-R-A-N-D-E-I-S, Brandeis University encouraged the student body to begin finding their trigger words and tell us what those words are.
They started doing this at the college.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they did move it off-site. They did finally move it off to an independent website maintained by student body. All right, but... It's a project that basically is suggested language. It's a suggested language list, they call it. The suggested language list tells you what words could be deemed offensive, and you might want to think about using a different version of that word.
What?
Yeah, so here we go. You ready? They got it broken down into categories. They've got identity-based. They got identity-based words. They got violent language words. They got language that doesn't say what we mean, and they've got culturally appropriative language. Okay, so let's go to violent language.
All right, give me some violent language. All right.
Violent language. Ready for this? First of all, trigger warning is now a violent word.
I was just about to answer the phone and you said you, trigger something.
You're gonna need a trigger warning for your trigger warning words. All right, so he's getting the phone right now. I'll just tell you, trigger warning. Well, they suggest that perhaps you shouldn't use trigger warning, because that can signify that something is imminent or guaranteed to happen, which may cause additional stress about the content then to be covered. We can never guarantee that someone would not be triggered, but if we say trigger, it might... Oh, for the love of God. All right, how about rule of thumb? Does anybody out there, by the way, ever say, what's the rule of thumb, man? I mean, all right, so rule of thumb for this one is, I mean, when you say rule of thumb, are you considering an archaic British law from the... you know, centuries ago that allowed men to beat their wives with sticks no wider than the thumbs? That's what they say. So apparently in the 18th century, it was used in this manner, and rule of thumb is not to be used anymore because hundreds of years ago, it meant something that no one knows that it meant. Okay. All right. This one's going to hurt you. Are you ready? Got whipped into shape. Oh, yeah, man, we whipped that thing into shape. Oh, yeah, we whipped the team into shape. Oh, yeah, man, we whipped them into shape. Don't say that. Say organize or spruce up or put into order, because otherwise it could evoke images of enslavement and torture. Okay. All right, here's the one that gets me, too. Picnic. Picnic is a violent word. Stand by. I'm just telling, you just got to be careful. Picnic. Picnic could be deemed a violent word. Why? Well, because someone who suggested the term picnic could be associated with lynchings of black people, during which it is said that white spectators used to watch while they were eating. What? Does anybody listen to this stuff? All right. First of all, I got more words like this, and we're gonna walk through, and I got articles here that the whole section of this part of the show is called Suck It Up, Buttercup. Get over it. I got news. I got plenty of trigger words. And later on, I'm going on a picnic, and I'm going to whip this whole thing into shape. More than one way to skin a cat. I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to beat a dead horse. Got multiple ways to go down this road. Wow. All right. Listen, Boomer, tell our caller if he wouldn't mind to hang on during the break, because we got to take the break right now, and then we'll come right back, and I'll jump on that call first. If you want to call in, you're welcome to it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Call the show. Love to hear from you. Suck it up, Buttercup. Be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, man, solid conservative, just plain right. So let me do this. I got some phone calls, people calling in. I love that. Let me just jump on line two first. Ken over in Rimlap. Ken, how you doing, man?
Oh, yeah, how y'all doing, guys?
We're good. We're good. What's on your mind?
You were naming some of these off, and I knew one I never knew where it really came from.
Yeah.
But it was, I'm going to mosey over here.
Okay. Mosey,
and
yeah.
And I never knew. I used to listen to a Messianic rabbi, and he said that was actually a flap. It was Moses.
So we can't say mosey anymore because that's Moses?
Well, that's what I had heard, that was the origins of that.
Well, I guess maybe mosey in his slow walking, and since they spent 40 years in the wilderness, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. How do you – if everybody's offended at everything, what do we do, Ken? I mean, I have no idea where to go with this.
Oh, I know. I guess I don't know. one day you just won't be able to talk.
Yeah, just my talk shows. I can't talk for 3 hours anymore because I don't know what I would say that would offend somebody. Oh, my God. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, how's it going?
You too, man. Line one, Henry from Winston County. Henry, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. I'm not going to ask you back because I'd like to get right to what I'm going to say, because I probably ain't going to have enough time because I just run my mouth all the time.
Well, okay. All right. Well, Henry, I got somebody else on the line. Should I go to them first or should I just come and stay with you?
Yeah, because I want to tell you about the parable of the fig tree. Christ told us he didn't say maybe or perhaps. He said learn it. And I did it in my dissertation or thesis on the fig tree generation. And I'll tell you why it relates to the Queen of England, Elizabeth.
Okay, give me the short version though, bud.
Okay, the King of Babylon killed the last king. You know, David was promised by God that there will always be a king to sit on the throne, right? Well, Hezekiah was killed. And he had to watch his 10 sons die, and then he was blinded and murdered. So, and that was for betraying the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and God. God told him, hey, you go into captivity, you'll be just fine. But he refused to listen. He fought all the way until he lost his life. Well, people say, oh, well, the Bible can't be true because, look, there's no more kings to sit on the throne. Well, there were no more. But what happened was the Bible speaks in the same chapter there of the three tender twigs. And what God means there, is that there was three daughters. Well, Jeremiah, whose name was changed.
Henry, man, I got somebody else on the phone. You got to get to your point, brother.
Okay, well, ask yourself, why did the queen go to Scotland? Because that stone that Jacob laid his head on was brought to Scotland by Scota, one of the daughters. And the other two daughters, I'll just stay on Scota. That's why Scotland is named Scotland, is because she married the king of the land at the time, and the name of the country became Scotland after Scota. Well, that stone that the tribe Israeli tribe carried for all those years was brought there with her, and then Jeremiah left, or Owen Fowler, and then the stone was then turned over to England.
Henry.
Now, the stone in the Bible, it's going to be overturned. Anyway, she returned there. I was wondering myself if she requested the stone be brought back to England, because every king that was ever became king, they were protector of the faith.
Hey,
Bill.
Hey, Henry. Henry, you've written a dissertation, but I can't let you quote the entire dissertation on the show, man. I'm sorry. I got to honor somebody else who's on the line holding.
I told you I was going to run my mouth.
All right. I got to go, Henry. I'm going to go right now. Bye, Henry. Have a great day. Wow. All right. Let me jump over and try to catch Jerry for a minute. Jerry, I am so sorry you had to hold, but Jerry from Decatur, how are you?
Fine, thank you. So let me rush into this, try to get it up. Years ago, when I was a journalist in Thailand and editor for first the Bangkok World, which became a New York Times affiliate, and then for a British newspaper, Lord Thompson of Fleet, I was given a free trip. We don't make much money, but we get a lot of fringe benefits. I was given a trip to Africa, and I stayed in treetops where Queen Elizabeth first found out that she was the new queen.
How about that? That's neat.
Years later, I was presented to her. I had to learn how to courtesy perfectly.
Huh.
I was in the middle of a curtsy when the protocol officer introduced me with being the Bangkok Pearl. I stopped mid-courtesy. I said, no, the Bangkok Post. And the queen interrupted. And she said, oh, we sometimes forget, don't we? And she was just delightful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So down to earth.
Well, what a great personal story, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that. That is a wonderful personal story. And thanks for your travels. We're up against a break, my friend. I've got to go right now. So let me jump over and do that. You have a great day, ma'am.
You too.
All right. That was neat. That was something. All right. Listen, we got to run to a break right now. I know we do. I can sense it coming. I don't hear music, but I know. Oh, now I got music. I wasn't lying. I knew we had a break.
You did.
All right. We're going to come right back. You want to call in, I'll take it. But if you've got a dissertation, make sure you understand that I can't let you do the entire dissertation. 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. And I got a list of trigger words like, did you know that you can no longer call them prostitutes? I'll tell you why when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Suck it up, Buttercup. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, blanketing all of North Alabama. We are covering down on some ground with conservatism. Hey, listen, before I go too much further, I got to tell you, it's go-home time. A bunch of you folks have already got car keys in hands, and you're staring at the door. You're making your way to the parking lot. You can smell the barn, and you're thinking, I'm driving home right now. What am I doing for dinner? What am I doing? What am I? I don't want to mess up the kitchen tonight. I don't feel like having to wash dishes. You know, I want something different. I don't want the chicken fingers or the usual burger at the fast food line. Let me suggest Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe. They got amazing food, and they got amazing coffees, and they got amazing atmosphere. I mean, if you want to hang out there and use their Wi-Fi, read a book, play a game, hang out with some friends all day long, you can take a break from work, go over there, eat breakfast there on the way in. But tonight, on the way home, you might want to think about doing that. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area. One's on Hughes Road out in Madison. The other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. And they've got an amazing menu. They've got salads, wraps. They've got breakfast for dinner if you want it. Like, my favorite is the womelet. I've gotten that before. Oh, it's amazing. It's an omelet, super thick, filled with stuff, cooked in a waffle iron. They call it the womelet. Yeah, it's something else. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Do check them out, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I get the biggest kick out of that. Travis, who runs Just Love Coffee, he'll tell me once in a while, man, we have more people come in and say they heard about it. All right, moving on. I got a caller on line one. Boomer, let me grab that real quick. Let me get line one. Boomer, Clay from Madison. Clay, how you doing?
Hey, Dr. Ruffian, Professor of Wright, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was born and raised in the West, and I've been out here for 25 years, though. But the term redneck out there usually meant somebody who wore cowboy boots, cowboy hat maybe, skull patch in their back pocket, might have been rodeo rider or something like that. And I called somebody out here a redneck about 24, 25 years ago, and man, I almost got in a fight.
Did you threw out a trigger word and they took it, huh?
Oh man, it's a whole different meaning out here.
Yeah, man, you throw down the wrong trigger word around here, they might pull a trigger out of their pocket. You never know.
That's true. Although you got to admit, Huntsville, Madison County, that's not real Alabama. I mean, you got to leave this area to find real Alabama. Took me a couple years to be Alabama-fied, so.
Well, I tell you what, we got real Alabama everywhere we look right now, and I love it, and I wouldn't have any other word. And I'm by the way, 25 years, let me just tell you, you are from here now, just so you know that.
Oh, well, hey, let me ask you one thing, though. Yeah. Has the legislature in Alabama ever considered single-subject legislation?
You know, it's a great point. We do have a rule. The debate at the podium has to remain germane to the bill, and if it's going to be an omnibus bill, it has to be something where you can tell what the subparts are. We also passed legislation that said that the bill, when it goes to a referendum of the people, we have to have clear and concise language. We changed that in recent years. But when it comes to having true single-source legislation, yes, it has to be germane, it has to all fit together. But it can be omnibus in that it's multifaceted. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Now, see, I came from the great state of UTAX, and they have single-subject legislation. But the drawback is that when you get into those final days and hours, you could be voting on a new bill every 2-3 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a drawback. But it's not a single source. It's single subject. So there's no such thing as an omnibus bill.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I was thinking that, you know, bills benefit somebody, and, you know, follow the money, follow the influence, follow the power lines and stuff. Why do a bill if it doesn't benefit somebody? But the public view of that bill isn't always the real view or the real purpose of that.
Fair enough. Fair enough, man. All right. Listen, Clay, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Professor.
All right, bud. Have a good day. You had another caller, Boomer, but they didn't stay on. Who, Ella, was that who it was?
Ella came on, and she's from Birmingham, and I believe her aunt or grandmother lives up in Huntsville, and they both listened to the show, and they just wanted just you to know that they love the show, and they want to just continue to listen. And
oh man,
yeah, keep what you're doing up. So Ella, that was awesome.
Ella, and shout out to Ella and Grandma. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. Ain't nothing but, you know, little kudos that go a long way, I tell you. And that's not a participation trophy, by the way. Listen, I got more words. I had that. I really have not had a chance to unpack this list because the phones have just lit up. If you want to call in, heck, let's do it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT if you want to call in. Love to hear your thoughts. I'm in number three of the Triple Dipper, and I've called it Suck It Up, Buttercup, because I'm amazed at how society is allowing things to become so ridiculous. Some are calling it the wussification of America. I mean, it's like right now, you've got, for instance, just this year, did you know that Microsoft put a feature, you may not know this, Microsoft put a feature into Microsoft Word. It autocorrects against what Microsoft thinks are offensive words. Did you know that was in there? Now, I will say this. It underlines it with a purple word and gives you suggestions as to how you can be, quote unquote, non-offensive. But it does allow you to turn this off. Like, for instance, it will literally suggest to you that if you put postman, that you change it to postal worker. I kid you not. Because people are triggered. The problem is, it'll do stuff that's like, it'll change history. Like Neil Armstrong's famous quote about one giant leap for mankind changes it to humankind. Come on. Can't do that. That's history. I got one story here. Suck It Up, Buttercup. This one came out of The Guardian on July 6th of this year. Remember the TV show Friends? You know, is like this massive hit. Every single one of them was a character that went on to do other things. But Friends, the creator of Friends, one of the co-creators of Friends, what's her name? Marta Kaufman. Marta Kaufman is now apologizing. Pray tell, Marta, Friends has been off the air for years. Why are you apologizing? Well, Marta's apologizing because she now regrets the representation of the character Amanda Bing, who was Chandler Bing's transgender parent in the 90s. Here's the quote. Are you ready for this? Well, we kept referring to her as Chandler's father, even though Chandler's character was trans, and pronouns were not yet something I understood, so we didn't refer to that character as she. That was a mistake. I got news, Marta. The only mistake is this groveling apology of yours. Boomer's head's about to explode
well,
over here.
That's my wife's favorite show, and then I just told her that today, and she was like, are you kidding me?
My gosh. Well, yeah, Marta, suck it up, Buttercup. All right, so I got some callers on the line. Who we got? Let me grab line three first. I'll go line three, Randy from Huntsville. Randy, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great today, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Hey, been listening to you for a while. Thank you for your service. Yeah, about trigger words, if it's all right for me to say, the Nextdoor app banned my account for 2 weeks for using the word illegal. Talking about illegal aliens coming into our country.
What?
And, after extensive, probably over an hour on my computer trying to find a way to contact them, I finally demanded that I wanted an explanation to know exactly what it was I did. And they said I was discriminated. They banned me for discrimination for 2 weeks. They said that I used the word illegal, that I need to use the word non-citizen. I replied with, I will not comply. If you enter this country without going through the proper channels, you are illegal and you are a criminal, and I will do everything I can to bring attention to your censorship. And so that's what I'm doing today.
Randy, you sound like a right side ruffian, my brother. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, I think it should be illegal not to be allowed to use the word illegal, just so you know.
Yes, sir. I agree with you.
All right, Randy, thanks for the call, man. Stay in the fight.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Line two. Is that Jeff? Yeah, line two. Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing great, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind, brother?
You mean I can't use the word commie-crat no more? I mean, it's not derogatory. It's just descriptive.
Listen, Jeff, we're going to have to push the bleeper button on you if you keep that up. I don't know what to say about that. Boomer, did we lose him?
Hello?
Hang on, Boomer. I think you just connected me to the open line there. Where's line two? Is Jeff still on there?
I'm here.
Oh, Jeff. You got me.
You have more of them technical difficulties.
No, what it was is you said a bad word, and we had to go all trigger on you.
I know, man. It's bad. You know, I just want to be called a constitutional American, because basically that is America. You know, it's not a landmass. It's not the people. It's America is basically the Constitution of the United States. It's our freedom.
Well,
that makes America America.
Totally agree. And last I checked, there was also this thing called the First Amendment that gives us the freedom to be able to say certain words. I get it. If it's truly offensive, like, you know, vulgarity or, you know, insulting someone, then, you know, chill out. But the reality is you can't just go and rewrite the English language and say pronouns are different now and whatever else.
Well, there's no offensive language to me, because I determine what is offensive and not, and I don't give you that power to do that. So anything you say to me is fine by me, because, you know, I know who I am and I know what I am. And if I'm so little that I let somebody's calling me a name or whatever to hurt me, then, you know, just like I say, suck it up, buttercup.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly. And by the way, in your profession, I'm pretty sure you've heard a few words.
Oh, yeah, especially when they come on, old feller, I'll meet you the next exit here, and I'm going to whip your butt, you know. You never see anybody pull over, though. You know what? It's amazing.
Jeff, appreciate you, man. You have a great day. Let me grab one more call for the break. We got, what, line six? Is that line six? Sparky? Hey, Sparky, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm all right. Very sad to hear about the passing of the Queen.
Yeah.
And long live King Charles III. And I want to say, to the public, we've had a fine string of British exchange officers to my test agency on Redstone for many, many years. Every one a fine officer and good representatives of the Crown. And so my condolences to Joe, our current exchange officer, and proudly serving gentleman, and proud to serve with you.
Well, that's well said, and well timed. So thank you, Sparky. Appreciate it, man. And we'll take that one right into the break. You have a good one, bud. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. And we will do that right now. Come back from the last break of the day, headed into the final segment. I got a few more words I haven't even gotten into yet. This whole section, suck it up, buttercup. Like, did you know, by the way, that Jennifer Lawrence has nightmares about Tucker Carlson and she even has to go see a therapist? Suck it up, buttercup. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, blanketing North Alabama, making it just cool to be a conservative. Boomer, I'm just going to go ahead and say this where everybody can hear me say it. You are doing a bang-up job on the bumps, brother.
Hey, thanks.
I mean, we got some.
I'm trying to rack some of them up. I mean, is that a trigger word? Rack. I don't know. Sorry, but I'm just trying to, you know, start throwing some good ones in there.
There was an ancient torture device called a rack, and I'm pretty sure that we can't use that now. And don't say the word illegal.
Oh,
by the way, I got to tell you too, just in case you didn't know, that you can't, according to the Brandeis University students' suggested word list, you can no longer say the word prostitute.
Really?
Yeah, you have to call them sex workers. It's their profession.
It's their profession.
Let's honor their profession. Let's stop branding them with some kind of title. I mean, like, hey.
Oh, my goodness.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, y'all,
okay. Power. All right. If you want to call in the last couple minutes here, you're welcome to it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Yeah. Suck it up, buttercup is the section of the triple dipper that I've been doing today. And there's some stuff in here that's like, golly, you just like, how do you get through life if you're that scared of life? Here's what Greg Gutfeld's telling folks, you know, this is awful. This is June of last year. He had a piece. And he said his answer, grow up, you infantile wusses. That's his answer to it. like words like policeman, congressman, even freshman, you can't use them because of the word man. You know, it just, it goes on and on and on. But he basically says every time we ban a phrase like that, every time a terrified administrator caves in to some millennial trigger word, it's a feather in the cap of the wokeism. It's just a feather. They got another one. They got you. They made you bend. You didn't look them in the eye and say, that will not stand. Suck it up, buttercup. So there's that. And then, you know, you also got to look at the fact that you see some folks who are out there in public life and they've got, they may have personal issues, I understand, but they got a lot going for them, like actress Jennifer Lawrence. She says that she literally has had to go to a lot of family therapy. In the process, she had to deal with a recurring nightmare she was having about Fox News host Tucker Carlson. And she wants to talk about that in her interview. Well, suck it up, buttercup. Or how about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is the biggest buttercup in all of politics, who literally can find a reason to be a victim at every single turn, still talking to this day about how scared she was on January 6th in 2021, and how she, and I'd never heard this one. Not only did she say she was scared for her life, even though she was not in the same building, she believed she had a very close encounter, thought she was going to die. That's a quote, by the way. But here's her other quote. At one point, she and other lawmakers were moved to a safe room in the building they were in to then be brought out by Capitol Police, you know, and sort of escorted away in case there was anybody around. She says she didn't feel safe in that room because there were other lawmakers who were QAnon and white supremacist sympathizers, and frankly, there were white supremacist members of Congress. And I felt like they were going to disclose my location and create opportunities to allow me to be hurt or kidnapped, etc. That's a quote. Anyway, suck it up, buttercup. I got a call on the line real quick. I'll take it before we run out of time. Mark from Owens Crossroads. Mark, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
What about filibuster? Now, I know the Democrats are trying to get rid of it, but you being Phil, are they trying to bust you up?
Man.
They might want to get rid of that word.
You know what, though? I am not offended. In fact, I exercise the filibuster on more than one occasion.
Well, be careful out there, Phil. You're the right side commander.
All right, brother. Appreciate you. You have a great day. Oh, wow. That's, what a great call to end the day on. We'll just make that our last call of the day. Yeah, folks, listen, I'm going to tell you, our society cannot allow itself to go down the road of letting expression like simple words that no one has any ill intent with, that are not insulting or demeaning, but you want to create insult. You want to create offense. You want to create a reason for someone to go into a fetal position. How about you remind them that life does not work that way? And when the hard times come, where was it again, Boomer? Proverbs 24:10, I believe, wasn't it? Proverbs 24:10. If you fall apart in a crisis, there was not much to you in the first place. Check it out. Am I right? Proverbs 24:10? Yeah. So, folks, I'm just saying, we cannot have a society that literally engages so much trivial nonsense that we no longer feel like we can just have basic conversations. That people don't know what it means to get knocked down and then get back up. The best quote, if you ever want to see it, the best quote out there is Rocky Balboa, the movie, Rocky talking to his son, saying, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how much you can get back up when you've been hit hard. So suck it up, buttercup. All right, folks, what a great day. Love this audience, man. Love it. And, you know, God bless the people of the great country of England, Great Britain, and all the Commonwealth nations as they have lost their queen today. And we'll continue to monitor that story and let you know if we see something worth talking about on the air. In the meantime, stay tuned. A whole lot more. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. See you then.